What's going on, Bulls fan? This is Peter Szczecki, Pro Bull, the class of 2018, and you're tuned in to the It's Brewing podcast. Go Bulls.
You have to understand those who came before you. You can't just play for me.
Payoff pitch. Rutscher pulls it. Deep to right field. And this game is tied.
Every day is to make the university extremely proud. To make our alumni extremely proud of what we're doing in the program. Culture and work ethic and all of those things. Those are living, breathing things.
Are you kidding me?
This is ripped, the first Hogan, and there is your game winner. The South Florida Bulls can celebrate. They are headed to the Super Regionals for the first time in school history.
If you don't have the expectation of getting to Omaha, and playing well in Omaha, you probably shouldn't be coaching Division I baseball.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this edition of It's Brewing at McEwen, a USF baseball podcast. It is February 4th, 2025, and we are less than 2 weeks away from opening day. I'm your host, Mark Giardino. And I'm joined by three of my co-hosts today, the full Bruin crew. Got my brother, Matthew Giardino. I've got Adam Cartwright and John Kaplan. You're going to hear from all of them in a bit. But I just want to, kind of lay some background to what's been going on for USF baseball. In the broader scheme, the Bulls are actually about to start their 60th year of baseball at USF. And what an exciting way to do it with a whole new coaching staff, a whole new era, the era of Coach Mitch Hanna's, somebody that we may have on the show next week. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, I mean, with the exception of Coach Cates, who's the only returning coach, assistant coach from last year, and it's a whole new coaching staff. And speaking of Coach Cates, we actually had a podcast with him last year and Coach Blake Kangas as well. So if you missed those, you can hear from both of them. Check those episodes out. But yeah, the Bulls are pretty well into their spring camp. Matt and I got out to a couple of the practices in the fall, got some thoughts and takeaways from that. But the Bulls have been pretty active here in January and February. I've already been seeing some clips on social media, some of their scrimmages that they're doing. And like we said, less than 2 weeks away. Really kind of one thing that stands out about this upcoming season is the new roster. And that is something that was pretty long awaited by myself and the whole crew and fans in general. But now that we've had about a week to digest it, it's been pretty exciting to see some of these new names, a lot of new names. So a little bit of a breakdown of the roster. We've got 40 players. 16 of them are returning from last season, and we have 24 new players. So that is exciting. Of those 24 new players, 11 of them have transferred in from other four-year schools. 8 of them are from JUCO, and 5 of them are from high school. And one other roster tidbit that's pretty interesting is there's still one player on the team from the 2021 Super Regional team. That is left-handed pitcher Caleb Punsack, who redshirted last year with an injury, so he'll be a fifth-year senior for the Bulls this year. But yeah, that's kind of a high-level breakdown of what the new roster looks like. But just want to see what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, man. Look, coming into the season, I just think there's a lot of I'm really anxious. You know, I've got a lot. I'm really excited about it. And I think it's kind of a different feeling than what we had from last season when maybe we had a lot of returning faces and we kind of knew where guys more or less were going to plug and play. You know, this season you just don't have that. You know, the two guys that predominantly played Midland Field are not here anymore. And that's kind of going to have some seismic shifts around the infield. There's going to be a competition there. You got a few guys coming back, Rose, again, does he play back into the middle infield, or does he stick to third base, which goes into the question marks too. Even the guys that we have coming back, how are they going to play in? Are they going to fill in the same roles with this new team? Again, there's just a lot of kind of anxious excitement to kind of see how this roster is going to come together.
Yeah, I mean, we have a few question marks coming into the season, but I mean, whenever you look at the past few seasons, when have we not had question marks? And one thing about this season that I'm excited about is that we're going to have an increased level of competition, to fill as voids for those certain spots that we have question marks at. And with, any workplace, we'll consider this a workplace, the more competition that you have for each spot, that's generally going to generate more results and better results on the field. So while I'm definitely anxious to see how everything plays out, I have a high level of optimism, and I'm really looking forward to seeing, exactly how this plays out on the field.
There's going to be a lot of competition. And I think, we can kind of take a very high level look at the projected, or not the projected, but the actual roster, and try to maybe introduce the fans to some of the new names, but also kind of give some context to where the returning names are going to fit. So I'll start with the infield. So we'll start at the very core of the team, which is the catcher. So I think when you think about catcher for this year's team, I think there's two main contenders for that starting role. Obviously, you have Matt Buffington returning, who walked on last season and actually ended up playing a pretty big role for the 2024 team, and showed a lot of good traits. He showed a little bit of power. He showed some good leadership ability, and now he's a senior, so I feel like, he'll definitely have a role to play. But you also got Lance Triple, who is a transfer from Florida State, originally from Sarasota. He's a junior. He was at Florida State for 2 years, and he didn't play a lot, but he has a lot of athleticism from what I've read on scouting reports. A lot of athleticism. He's even got a lot of some power offensively. He's going to be someone that I think will have a good chance to win that starting catching role. So the battle between him and Matt will be interesting to see. But also thinking about first base, we have a core tenet of our team from the last couple of years, Rafael Betancourt returning. He's a solid first base option. But also bringing in Sebastian Greco, the graduate transfer from FAMU, who is the single season home run leader at that school. He had 17 home runs back in 2023, originally from Tampa. That's going to be exciting to see how that shakes out. And then going to the other side, the other corner, third base. To me, this is the position that is maybe the most wide open. There's not a returner that is the anchor of that position. Matt Rose has obviously played there, but he also plays middle infield. But I think Matt Rose is a contender, of course, but also somebody who's jumping out at me as somebody that I think could win that third base job is Alex Brazier. He's a transfer from Eckerd College, Division II school over in St. Pete, and he's only a sophomore. And what's impressive about him is last year as a freshman at Eckerd, he was the Sunshine State Conference for all Division II in Florida Freshman of the Year. He's really talented, and apparently in a scrimmage a couple of days ago, according to USA Baseball's Instagram story, he hit two home runs in a scrimmage. Not surprising. He's got great size. He's 6'2", 215. He's only a sophomore. And for me, it's always a good sign if you're somebody that can go to a school and immediately be a impact player as a freshman. I think that says a lot about maturity and just talent, honestly. So for him to have that kind of impact at Eckerd as a freshman, I think he's gonna have a pretty big impact for us here. So that's the catcher and corner infield. And then also the middle infield, I think, is going to be interesting. You have, I think, based on what I've seen in scrimmages and just what I've read online and kind of just gauging, is I think maybe one of the top contenders for the starting shortstop position is Brad Keelory. He is a 5'8", 173 senior from originally from Trinity, Florida, played at Jesuit High School. And crazy stat about him, he's won two national championships in a row. In 2023, when he was at the College of Central Florida up in Ocala, he was a poor player of that team. I think he had like over 10 home runs, batted over 300. They won national championship of junior college. And then last year he was at the University of Tennessee as a role player, kind of a utility, and won another national championship there. But I think he came to USF to at least what from what I heard on the interview with Derek Sharp, he's looking for an opportunity to come back to his hometown and really maybe get a starting everyday role. And I think that, you know, this might be an opportunity for him to do that. So I'm excited to see what he could potentially do. And then second base, I think Matt Rose has a really good chance to play there, if not third. And we know what he can do. He's been with USF for, this is going to be his third year. His role kind of just expanded last year, and I could see that continue to grow. There's a few other names, obviously, that could win out these battles, but that's kind of a high level introduction to the infield. So with that, I'll kick it to Matt, who's got some thoughts on the outfield.
Yeah, on the outfield, it's really exciting to have guys like Marcus Brodeal and Jackson Mayo back for another season. They're long tenured bulls, and we're excited to see how they're going to be this upcoming season. But additionally, we also have some really interesting players coming in. One of those names is Ryan Pruitt, who is from Uwapi College in Arizona. Really good speedster. He batted leadoff a lot of times. And during the course of the season in junior college last year, he stole 23 bases. And that's also on top of batting 383 with a 1,044 OPS. So really excited to see what he's going to be able to do for us. I think he can add a lot of dynamic to our outfield. And then on top of that, we also have Jacob Green coming in from Seminole State College. He also had some really eye-popping numbers, batted 369 with an 890 OPS, and also has some really great speed traits as well, with 26 total steals on the season last year. And then you can't forget about Dawson Mauch. He only had 17 at bats last year, but overall he did really great in his summer league. He had four home runs with an 893 OPS. Overall, we have a lot of really good competition. We have a good mix of new guys, and obviously, all the fans know who Marcus Brodeal and Jackson Mayo are. But I think there's going to be some really strong competition in the outfield for that third spot.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even be surprised to see a rotation initially. I do think with the tenure they have and the achievements they have in their career, I think Brodeal and Mayo will start. But there's definitely a chance that the speed of like a Ryan Pruitt or a Jacob Green could actually push Mayo maybe to a corner outfield spot, and he have Ryan Pruitt or Jacob Green be your starting center fielder potentially. I think both of those guys are gonna play a role whether they start or sub or platoon or however that ends up working out. And Dawson Mauch, he's very versatile. He came in last year in all kinds of situations, pinch runner, outfield, infield, doesn't matter. So I think he's gonna have a just a really good utility role. But yeah, I think the outfield is honestly probably one of the lowest areas of concern, given the fact that you have two really solid returning starters in Marcus Brodeal and Jackson Mayo. I mean, don't forget last year, Marcus Brodeal, he started last season really slow. He barely played the first month because he was coming off of an injury. And the last 2 months of the season, he was just absolutely on fire. He finished the season batting 319 with a 969 OPS. I mean, he was arguably one of the top two hitters on the team last year. And then Jackson Mayo, his batting average was a little down last year at 262, but he still provided some pop to the offense with an 853 OPS and 8 home runs. So I think both of those guys, from a power and just ability standpoint, are just going to be great anchors for this team, especially considering they're both, I think they're both, are they both seniors now? I think they are.
Should be.
Let me see. Yeah, they are. Wow. Cool. So they're both seniors. So I think they're both going to be huge in the outfield for us. So yeah, I mean, between those five guys, I think the outfield's in good hands. We even got another outfielder who is a transfer from Indiana State. He was a freshman there last year, only had three at bats. His name's Adrian Lopez. He's got good size though. He's 6'1", 195. He's originally from Puerto Rico. I saw him in the fall. He looks athletic. He looks good. I mean, just like the rest of them. So don't be surprised if he makes an impact as well. But with that, we'll kick it to John, who's got some kind of initial thoughts on the pitching staff.
So the pitching staff is definitely one of those areas where there's going to be initially or early on, there's going to be a lot of question marks because really, I mean, the only returning arm that we have that is pretty much like a shoe-in for consideration at a maybe like a midweek starting spot is Lawson Gailey, who I think he went 33 and a third last season, had a 5.13 ERA, and then we have Austin Newton and Corey Kling coming back. Anybody who knows me knows I'm real high on Newt. He struggled with some injuries late mid late season last year, but he's got potential to be absolutely electric. He's a big kid, and throws really hard. He's got really good breaking stuff too. So I'm really excited to see what kind of progression that he's taken this season with the increased or added competition to the bullpen. And Corey Kling had some really hot appearances last season as well. He really shined in some spots when his number was called. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what our returners have in terms of, or in comparison to what, you know, some of the newcomers that are coming in are going to be bringing to the table. The first name that I'll bring up is Jack Nedrow. He's 6'2", 230, 230 pound right-handed pitcher from Lee University. He is a senior this year, and I believe that he's going to be an anchor in our weekend rotation. I believe that he's culturally one of the guys who Coach Hannes is going to be depending on for some leadership and to really hold down, you know, a Friday or Saturday spot for our rotation and give us some consistency that us Bulls fans have been yearning for. He's got a huge frame. He's got control of multiple pitches and has near 240 career innings pitched at a D2 level with a 3.84 ERA. Those are really good numbers, and he showed the ability to stay healthy and be consistent. And I think that that's what we need for an anchor spot in our rotation. And next is Evan Kohler. He's a 6'2", 207 pound right-handed pitcher from Polk State. He's got at the JUCO level, he's got 127 and a third career innings pitched and a 3.46 ERA. I also see him make vying for a potential rotation spot. There's another name that caught my eye who didn't get a whole lot of time last year, but he's a transfer from Ole Miss. He is redshirt junior Corey Braun. He's 6'2", about 210 pounds, but he has played for some pretty good programs, you know, Charleston Southern and Santa Fe. Both of those programs are where he's actually put some actual work into. As I mentioned before, he didn't have any appearances at Ole Miss in 2024, but in 2023, he was named All Mid Florida Conference first team with a 7-1 record in 13 appearances, 12 of which were starts. So I think that we're going to want to have somebody coming from the other side. You know, the previous two newcomers that I mentioned were right-handed pitchers. I think that Corey Braun is one name that I'm looking for early on to see if we can't throw him into either a weekend spot or a midweek role as a potential starting pitcher. And another name that I really like is Lex Sanchez. He has primarily been out of relief in Hillsborough Community College, but we have received a little bit of inside intel on just how hard this guy works and how hard he's been working to come back from some injuries that he's been dealing with. So I'm definitely looking to see Lex Sanchez make a huge jump and potentially make a bid to jump into our starting rotation. What do you guys have on some of the pitching rotation?
I think I think I'm really most interested to see Corey Kling. I really liked what I saw from him. I know it was only 9.1 innings. I think he lost out on a lot of innings to Beavis, which if you look at the production, maybe he should have gotten more of a slice of the pie at the end of the day. But hey, neither here nor there. I really liked what I saw in that. And you want to see if maybe that freshman, he kind of gains that weight that you would see going from that freshman to sophomore year and kind of see how that would translate. So that's kind of my interesting thing. I do want to go back real quick for the position players. Dawson Mauch is one of those guys. I think I'm looking for him to really make a jump. He was one of those kids who came out of high school and played in the summer league directly out of high school, started getting experience. He did get a little bit of experience with us, Mark, as you mentioned, in various different roles. He was a second baseman. We've seen him move now to the outfield. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I do agree, outfield is probably our most experienced spot. Again, just question marks all over the field, but it's awesome because we're going to see a lot of great competition. I think those four guys you mentioned at catcher and DH or catcher at first base, we're probably going to see them all. When you factor in the DH and kind of that rotation, I do want to mention Alex Brazier, Brazier, sorry, former Leonard Longhorn, their head coach is a friend of the program, so we want to send a shout out to the Leonard Longhorn baseball program. We're really rooting for Alex, and early signs are great. We hope that pop translates. But yeah, those are my thoughts kind of on the roster in general.
Yeah, no, love that. That's definitely agree. Shout out Victor Martinez, coach at Leonard. Yeah, he's a definitely friend of the program, and yeah, we're excited to see his former player potentially carve out a big role here with the current Bulls team. But yeah, John, going back to what you're saying about some of the pitchers, I agree with you. I think that when you look at the returning pitchers that we have from last year's team, there really aren't that many that have like starting experience. So I think the vision, at least in my perspective, is that the starting rotation Friday, Saturday, Sunday is most likely going to be anchored by these transfers, these Division One, Division Two, JUCO transfers that you mentioned, like Jack Nedrow, Evan Kohler, and Corey Braun. And some of these guys I actually got to watch pitch in the fall. And one guy that probably impressed me the most was actually Corey Braun. I really like what I saw from him. He gets up to 93 miles per hour with his fastball. And as a lefty, a potential left-handed starting pitcher, I think could be really huge in college. And he just works with great pace. He's very confident. I don't know why, last year he didn't play Ole Miss, but he looks great right now, and I think that's all that matters. And yeah, I think he's got a really good chance to be a starting pitcher for us. So it may end up being those three guys as your starting pitchers.
Yeah, and one thing I was going to add too is, we've seen what Lawson Gailey's capable of. I think if he, has some improvement from last year, I think there's an opportunity for him to fit within that rotation spot as well. So definitely want to, see him get an opportunity and get a real shot at one of those spots too.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, he's a guy that when he was only a freshman here a couple of years ago, he had one of the best 2 or 3 ERAs on the team. And even last year, I mean, 5.13 ERA in 33 and a third innings. But in the context of the pitching staff as a whole, it actually was still pretty good. So we like him as a pitcher, as a player. We know him and his family pretty well, but I really like his game, and he really works a lot off of his changeup or splitter. I'm not exactly sure what he calls it, but off speed, very simple fastball, changeup kind of guy with a nice curveball as well. But yeah, he's definitely, as a junior now, somebody that who could potentially win a role like that as a starter or maybe even midweek, which is something that he's already done for this program. So we wouldn't be surprised to see that either.
Another thing is I'm really excited to see how the pitch calling changes this season. Honestly, just with progression in that area, I think you could see huge advancements from players like Boston Gailey, because he's got full control of 3 to 4 pitches, and he has the ability to mix it up so well, where he could pitch backwards in spots and just confuse the hell out of batting lineups. And I think where his problems have come is that when he's missing, he's missing up, and he doesn't have the velocity to really compensate for those misses. And also, it was usually the second or third time around in the rotation, the lineup, is when he was starting to get touched up, because he really does have pretty good control. So I think that when we see better pitch sequencing, I think that that could really pay a huge dividend for a player with veteran experience, because he's got quite a few innings under his belt. I've always been a Gailey fan, but it's just never quite panned out. It seems like he's kind of always been one pitch away. I'm hoping that Hannes can, kind of put that pitch back in his arsenal and really see a step forward for Lawson Gailey.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. He's been right on the cusp of being really solid. He's been good, but he's been right on the cusp of I think having a very successful season. So he's capable of that. And it'd be interesting to see if that they bring that out of him this year for sure. I'll bring up a few other names from a pitching staff standpoint that I think may end up playing maybe a relief role. Well, one guy that actually really impressed. I'll give a shout out to a guy that really impressed me in the fall. I got to watch him pitch. He's only a freshman. That's Cody Morgan. I watched him pitch in a scrimmage in, I want to say it was November. And I really, really like Cody Morgan. He's a right-handed pitcher. He's 6'2", 205-pound freshman from Palm Beach. He went to Dwyer High School. But yeah, he really had really good control, especially for a freshman. I've seen a lot of times you watch a freshman in their first few fall scrimmages and they're having a hard time finding the strike zone, or there seems like the moment is a little too big for them. But no, I mean, Cody Morgan had a really good composure, competing in his first fall scrimmages as a true freshman. I think he's somebody that we'll get maybe see out of the bullpen, if he can, if he's continues to pitch that well. He's definitely somebody that I'll keep an eye on. Also, you talk about a couple of maybe experienced pitchers other than the ones that we mentioned. Brandon Keister is 6'4", 208-pound senior, originally from Illinois, but he pitched at Indiana University in the Big Ten. So he's got some big time experience. And his role, if I recall, at Indiana was mostly as a relief pitcher, but he was very effective in that role. I believe his ERA was like under 4. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but he was a really solid Division I pitcher. So don't be surprised. And he's also a left-handed pitcher, which that's going to be huge for this team. We've had in the last couple years not having enough lefties. So bringing an experienced lefty, a senior like Brandon Keister from Indiana, I think that's really going to help out the bullpen a lot. And then I'll give you a dark horse for the starting pitching rotation is Jorge DeCardenas. He's a senior also. He's a transfer from Charlotte, one of our conference rivals, and he's a guy who had did a lot of good things. I want to say, yeah, in the JUCO level, which got him recruited to Charlotte. But once he got to Charlotte last season, I don't think he got a ton of innings, or it went quite as well as he probably would have liked. but he really burst onto the scene in summer baseball. He was playing in one of the bigger leagues. I can't remember which one, maybe in the Coastal Plains. But he was really putting up some really good numbers in his summer league. I remember that D1Baseball.com was doing some scouting articles from some of the bigger leagues in summer baseball, and he was a guy that they were actually writing about, saying, you know, he was throwing mid-90s. He's like working multiple innings with good control. I did not get to see him pitch in the fall, but he's somebody. Actually, no, I did watch him pitch in the fall. Yeah, and he actually did well when I watched him. But yeah, so he's somebody who I would keep an eye on just because he had such a good summer, and I think that's what got him on the radar of USF's coaching staff. But yeah, he's a right-handed pitcher, maybe somebody to keep an eye on. But yeah, those are some. We've talked a lot about pitching, so it's pretty clear that it's going to be an important topic for this team, especially
And
when they, yeah.
we didn't even touch on the Hawaii Bowl champion coming back too, Bryce Archie.
That's a good point. Yeah, starting quarterback for the USF football team, the latter half of the season. We saw him pitch a little bit last year. I think he was shaking a little rust off. We know he hadn't played baseball in a few years, a couple of years, but he still was throwing like 95 miles per hour. So
Got a live wire.
he's got an arm on him. So I would love to see Bryce Archie take a step forward from a baseball standpoint in 2025. I mean, he did it from a football standpoint, so maybe it'll translate to baseball as well. He's definitely got the arm for it. Any other thoughts on pitching from anybody before we kind of pivot to the next topic? Cool. All right, so the last thing we'll just kind of talk about is just our general thoughts going into the season. So my thing that I kind of wanted to talk about was, what would a successful season look like? And from my perspective, you know, I know that Coach Hannes has had a lot of success at Indiana State, you know, going to super regionals, hosting regionals, and that would be absolutely incredible if he could do that in year one. But I think for me, what I would like to see is just see this program get back to its winning ways. You know, I would love to see a winning record in conference play. Our team has not had a winning record in conference play since 2018, which is crazy to think because we actually went to a super regional in 2021, but that team was actually 500 in conference play. And every other season besides that, we have not had a winning record in conference play. So that's the main thing I want to see, is I want to see a winning record in conference play, and anything else on top of that will be gravy. So I'll kick it to John. Do you have any thoughts about the upcoming season or the schedule for this upcoming season?
Yeah, I've actually got quite a few. I'll try to limit them though. So to build on what you just said, I think it'll be nice going to the conference tournament, being a team that's talked about, you know, not being a bottom dwelling seed, and coming in and actually being a team that is well respected. You know, Coach Hannah says when we get off that bus, that other team's gonna know who we are, and they're gonna respect us. I want to make sure that we're respected going into that conference tournament, and that begins and ends with, you know, controlling our conference and you know, dominating conference play, which I think that without seeing how exactly it's going to pan out on the field, I think we have the capabilities of doing that. But we'll just have to see. As far as the schedule goes, I feel as though in seasons prior, we've kind of gotten, you know, shell-shocked a little bit once those conference opponents come to town, because we were scheduling such cookie cutter opponents, you know, for our non-conference schedule. But if you look at our schedule this year, I believe we've got three series against teams who finished, you know, in the top 50 RPI last season. We've got Georgia Southern, we've got UCF, and we also have, I'm missing one of them. One sec, sorry.
I think
Maryland. So
yes,
Maryland,
yeah.
Georgia Southern, and UCF, and then you throw in single games against like FGCU and Florida State. There's nothing easy about those games. I mean, when Villanova and Iowa are the two series that we're depending on to really kind of get some W's, that it's going to be interesting to see how we come out of the gates against some of these bigger programs. Maybe not necessarily from a baseball standpoint, but we're playing teams from some power conferences, and if they're not from a power conference, then we're playing teams who have very, very reputable baseball programs as well. So I think that three teams out of the top 50 in the RPI last season is going to be a challenge early on. And I think Mark and I were talking about Iowa, who was also even favored early on in the season. They just didn't quite meet expectations. So I'm not really looking for them to be a cakewalk either. And it's also interesting to note that we don't have that that tournament this year. You know, I'm used to having that four team little round robin action, but it'll be interesting to get right to work and get into a series. You know, and I'll wrap it up with this: what would a successful season look like? I think that you hit the nail on the head, Mark, but if you don't think that a guy with grit and a competitive edge like Coach Hannes has that last series of the schedule circled, highlighted, starred, everything against ECU, because
Love that.
yeah, I really think that a win in that series against ECU going
Yeah.
into the tournament, making them pucker a little bit before tournament play. I think that ending off a winning season in conference play and ending the season with a win against the perennial favorites, Eastern Carolina Pirates, I think that we should really look out for that series big time, and I'm really looking forward to switching the dynamic up and showing them who their daddy is moving forward.
I love that. I love the timing of it too. Last weekend in the season. That's awesome. Oh, Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, cool. And my general thoughts is I'm really looking forward to seeing Coach Hannes go out there and really make the most out of his roster. And also, with that being said, I'm really looking forward to seeing the team culture that we build, and just doing the right things, the small things right, consistently, and just playing baseball the right way. I think that there's a lot to be said about that. And just knowing what I know about Coach Hannah is that I think that that's going to be a big part of this upcoming season, and just overall really looking forward to seeing the development throughout the season.
Yeah, I think my general thoughts just when I think about the season, I just keep kind of coming back to expectations and kind of what those exactly are going to be, because I think it's no question that at the end of last season, a lot of Bulls fans were really just kind of wanting to see that end. It was a real drag if you were following the team, and so understandably so, morale is high. Do apologize if y'all are picking up my son. He's having to go to bed and not liking it. But again, morale is kind of low at that point, and so then you get the excitement of a new coach. We start talking about who those candidates are going to be. We start kind of planning out what we think the expectations will be at that point. And then Michael Kelly, Kurt Gibson's a shot to write, and we bring in Coach Hannes, and nobody sees that coming. And so again, that just kind of sparks it, those expectations of what it might be. And I'm not even talking about, within the confines of USF. I mean, I was listening to the 11.7 podcast, which those guys do a phenomenal job co covering all of college baseball, and they were actually kind of talking about the American Conference. And one of those guys actually brought up the fact that USF's a dark horse to be the regular season champ this season. And then he backed that up. He doubled down on it when the and that he was not being criticized at that point. He was there. The other, I can't remember which one was leading, but the other two were agreeing, and they kind of doubled down on the fact that with Coach Hannes, they see us as a dark horse to do it this season, or it will happen within three, right? And so, I just think. What are the expectations for the season? You mentioned a winning conference record. I think there are some people that are looking at us going, you might be a little better. Now, I think as USF fans, in general, with all sports, we're a little jaded when it comes to expectations. I think we've especially over the last 5 to 7 years, we've been given these kind of tastes of this, you should be good, and then it just gets, rug swept right out from under us. So it is kind of hard to buy into it. But I think when you hear these outside sources, like I said, it's a very reputable podcast, right? These are not guys, that are, just doing it on a whim. They kind of know what they're talking about, and they are giving us, these high expectation marks. And again, that's just kind of what I come back to. That anxious excitement that I talked about with the competition, I think some of that, what I'm hearing outside, is playing into that. Like, I think I'm much more ready for February 14th to come around than I think I might have been, say, June 1st of last year, right? And I do want to finish off by saying they also mentioned on that podcast, I think they had came to our Florida game, and they had mentioned how beautiful a facility it was and how great it is to be there and all of that. So I do want to say, guys, if you listen to it, we'll extend an invitation. Next time you're at the Red, find the Bruin guys, and we'll say what's up. But again, just excited, just excited.
Now, I wonder with the new scholarship rule change, I wonder if they're going to be changing their name at all. That'll be a question for them too.
11.7 35 flat.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, no,
That's good.
I love that show. I listen during the season. I listen to those guys pretty religiously. They're pretty awesome. So yeah, to hear them giving some love to to USF is definitely a good sign. Yeah, they're very knowledgeable. But yeah, I mean, you could definitely understand why. I mean, Coach Hannes has achieved it consistently, a lot of success. He's in a place now where he's got even better weather, even better facilities, even better local recruiting grounds. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely fair to have high expectations. But for me, I just want to see progress, and then, eventually that's gonna all kind of come together. It's gonna come together, but we'll see when that happens. But I'm excited. I'm very excited. So, but yeah, with that, I think that's all we have for today. Stay tuned. We are going to be dropping at least one show per week, sometimes two, the rest of the season. Next week, we're gonna have Coach Hannah's on for a little season preview. That's gonna be very exciting, very fun. So we're really looking forward to that. But yeah, make sure that you're following all the guys on Twitter. I will put all of their handles in the show notes. I'm Mark. I'm at USF Baseball Fans. But yeah, thank you everybody for listening, and for Adam, John, and Matt. We will see you all next time.
The Bulls.
The Bulls.
So
The Bulls.